As governor, I have the responsibility and the authority to ensure that our state remains on a fiscally sustainable path. That is why each year we review the budget carefully, line by line. We look at the assumptions on which the budget is based and the services it supports. And we assess the impact and any unintended consequences of legislation passed by the General Assembly. After the budget is signed, we continue to monitor the numbers throughout the year, and we take whatever action is necessary to keep the budget in balance and maintain healthy reserves. This authority, provided by our Constitution, requires prudent management and careful planning, and it is vital to keeping our fiscal house in order. For example, during the 2010 fiscal year, when the global financial crisis hit the hardest and revenues plummeted, we restricted more than $900 million in spending. These responsible practices are cited routinely by the ratings agencies in reaffirming our top AAA credit rating, and they stand in stark contrast to the dysfunction in Washington and other states. As a result, unlike other states, we weathered the national recession without going into debt or reaching further into the pockets of taxpayers. Unfortunately, the legislature finds it harder to abide by these principles. For example, during this session, they passed a $200 million tax increase on prescription drugs and tried to double the fees on driver's licenses, a $22 million fee hike I vetoed earlier this week. Today, Missouri's economy is growing. Businesses are hiring, and folks are getting back to work. But that does not relieve us of our obligation to maintain strict fiscal discipline. Fiscal responsibility is as important now as it was then, and that is why I'm taking the actions I'm taking today. The fiscal year 2014 budget passed by the General Assembly advances some worthy priorities, but on the most important issues affecting the fiscal health of our state, it badly misses the mark. Lawmakers failed once again to reform our state's largest tax credit programs, whose runaway costs far exceed their benefits to our economy and our communities. In fact, instead of reining in tax credit expenditures, lawmakers added to this already bloated system. I would also note that the General Assembly passed a number of bills that could add additional uncertainty to revenue collections, such as House Bill 128. The legislature also declined to draw down the federal dollars, dollars that Missourians have sent to Washington, to strengthen and improve health care in Missouri. Strengthening Medicaid would have given hundreds of thousands of working Missourians access to basic health coverage while generating additional revenue and savings for our state budget. Unfortunately, the consequences of their inaction are already being felt by Missouri families all across our state as our health system constricts and premiums continue to rise. Missourians deserve better, and I'll do everything in my power to move this issue forward next session. This budget also creates a number of completely new programs and increases funds for others above and beyond my budget recommendations. All told, the legislature appropriated nearly $30 million more in additional spending than the budget I presented. Finally, this budget does not account for the cost of House Bill 253, which I vetoed earlier this month. With a price tag of at least $800 million annually, House Bill 253 would undermine our fiscal foundation now and for years to come. It's the equivalent of cutting all support for higher education, all of it, closing all of our prisons, or shutting down the entire Department of Mental Health. House Bill 253 is a dangerous experiment we simply cannot afford. These costs are real and immediate if my veto is not sustained. For example, special breaks for what's known as pass-through business income would begin to phase in this year. Another flawed provision would explode the bill's costs immediately if Washington passes the Federal Marketplace Fairness Act. Passage of this bill, already approved by the United States Senate with 69 votes, would reduce general revenue by an additional $1.2 billion in fiscal year 2014. As lawmakers begin to understand the problems with this bill and their immediate and continuing consequences, I am confident they will come to the same conclusion I have. This bill should not become law. But no governor can responsibly manage a state budget on the assumption that a veto will be sustained. Here in Missouri, We don't balance budgets by making risky bets or taking leaps of faith. All these factors, the additional spending appropriated by the legislature, their failure to expand Medicaid and rein in tax credits, and the uncertainty created by House Bill 253 require that we take action now to ensure our state remains fiscally solvent later. That is why, after careful assessment, I am restricting $400 million from the fiscal year 2014 budget that I signed this morning. We have applied these restrictions broadly while making every effort to ensure they do not unnecessarily impact our most vulnerable Missourians or the vital services on which they depend. For example, while funds for adoptive families, early childhood education, and the Partnership for Hope are exempt, my office budget and those of these executive agencies are not. Additional funds for most capital improvements, rate increases for Medicaid providers, and pay raises for state employees will be restricted entirely, as will the many brand new programs added by employers. Instead of the record funding included in my budget proposal, the K-12 education formula will only receive level funding. A restriction of 4% will be applied to higher education. I've also instructed my budget director to develop a plan to eliminate another 1,000 full-time employees from the state workforce if necessary. Let me be clear. Restricting education funding is not how I think we should move our state forward. My balanced budget proposal included a $150 million increase for education for a reason. It's the best economic development tool there is. And that is why I will continue to work tirelessly to make sure that my veto is sustained so this education funding can be restored. But make no mistake, these restrictions represent only a fraction of what would be required if House Bill 253 becomes law. So the choice before us is stark and clear. Members of the General Assembly can either support House Bill 253 or they can support education, but they can't do both. Today, Missouri's perfect AAA credit rating is intact. Our unemployment rate has been below the national average for 45 straight months. And this year alone, we've seen global brands like Monsanto, Express Scripts, Boeing, and Ford announce major expansions that will create thousands of jobs across our state. In fact, just this week, General Motors announced an additional $133 million investment in Wentzville Platte, adding to the strength and jobs in that region. Progress like this doesn't happen by accident. By maintaining strict fiscal discipline and making responsible investments in our priorities, we will continue to move our state forward. Now, I'd be happy to take any questions that the press may have.
I hear you saying that you're not doing any one-item vetoes in the budget you were just...
No, I didn't say that. I vetoed four items, the Boone County legal fee matter that they've attempted to do a number of years, which is outside the law, a Blues in Schools grant. I think in the context of our what we've got here, more Blues in Schools for $80,000 is not a good thing, not worthy of expending limited taxpayer resources. Pike County Lincoln Tech Center, about $1 million, which the wrong funding source is used. And there was a first-time expenditure ever out of GR for the Springfield Community Improvement District. So those four line item vetoes are contained within the documents today. Excuse me?
They don't total much in terms of the total. Sounds like a couple of million.
Yeah, one three, whatever.
How much of the restrictions are coming from revenue?
Linda can give you a go by. I don't have it exactly, the stuff. I go by the line items of the various pieces here, and Director Lubring will be available afterwards to go through the specific amount. Oh, absolutely. I mean, as a result of the two-thirds year funding, we're going to close down the motor vehicle dealer window in Jeff City. I said a long time ago that we're not going to budget by two-thirds of the year. We're not going to go to a Washington system of continuing resolutions. And if the legislature, I'm just not going to go there. And so we will be closing the motor vehicle dealer window in Jefferson City and downsizing the department accordingly to reflect those cuts. I wouldn't say all because of the various other factors involved here, but clearly a significant portion of it would, especially the education funding, the timely investments in healthcare and otherwise. And like I said, there's 253 casts a financial pallor over the over this process, and once that's cleared, we'll be able to hopefully move. Assuming we're successful in sustaining that, we'll be able to move forward quickly. I think, especially on the education front and some of the healthcare things in here, there are, you know, like I say, a lot of good things in the budget.
Are you signing House Bill 19 or withholding all of them spending? That's the capital improvements bill.
We will. Let me see where that. Let me see. I mean, we're gonna release a little of the facilities maintenance and reserve for ongoing things that are occurring, but and because of some, you know, ongoing repairs at the Capitol, we're going to of that $50 million restrict 46.5, leaving enough money to complete kind of some of the stuff we're working on now. I mean, you had the leaking down in the House room. You had some problems with the cracking back here that we're in the middle of working on and whatnot. And we're in the process on some of the more dramatic of the problems at some of our state park facilities. I'm going to release about $2.5 million of that, just because we've got some maintenance issues out there that are we're in the middle of trying to get done.
But the major spending out of that
right.
bill is on hold.
Yes, absolutely.
Spending for the region.
Yep. Yep. I mean, that's about 3 weeks. That's about 3 weeks of expenditures of state. A little less than that, really. I mean, and any family that's out there thinking about what you're going to have in reserves, and when you put it in historical context, certainly the economy is improving, but the carryover number is historically in a range that's appropriate for a state like Missouri. And I think, you know, analogizing that to a family, saying that we're going to have in reserves 3 weeks of income of a family is not exactly a you know, I think we have to you know, maintain that fiscal discipline, and we'll continue to do that. So yeah, income is ticking up a little bit, surely, and we hope it continues. I mean, the trigger would have. I mean, that trigger language is very, very uncertain. And if you go through the analysis of it, it's not really a trigger, and it's more of an effort to talk about it. I mean, when you look at some of the downturn years we had, and still wouldn't have hit that measure. Plus the Fair Market Fairness Act that takes effect immediately. Plus the pass through stuff takes effect immediately. There's a whole bunch of stuff in that bill. It's not doesn't have anything to do with the trigger. I mean, the pass-through income stuff, so in other words, making sure that there's a tax break for lawyers and lobbyists, that goes through without any trigger. That's coming automatic unless my veto is held. So there's a lot of and in the fair market stuff is not subject to it and could be, you know, as I said, I mean, that's why I think most of you have had the opportunity to sit down with deputy legal counsel and a budget director on the issues involved in that, but it's very real and, you know, 69 votes in the United States Senate on a bill, and all it takes is a vote with one more on the other side in the House, and we got a $1.2 billion problem. That's not exactly a something you ignore when you're a AAA state and you're focused on fiscal discipline.
Well, if you have a $1.2 billion problem, you're only restricting $400
million. I said it was a down payment. That's why I said that this is a down payment, and I'm hopeful that when given all these facts and having the opportunity to spend a summer with their constituents and understand the seriousness of the situation, that we'll get through mid-September and get back to the task of seeing this economy grow based on what we have used in the past as the bedrock principles, which is focusing on fiscal discipline, investing in training and education, and when we do get a little better years and it begins to tick up, then putting dollars in those places to enhance their abilities to train Missourians while hopefully continuing to keep the cost down for those folks, especially going on to college.
Cutting 1,000 more jobs. Is that immediate, or is that going to wait until after the
Now, I'm asking Director Lubring today to begin the process of getting a report to me about how we would do that. That's not an immediate action. That will be. We factored in some savings in that regard, and we'll move forward in that plan. But that we'll not take specific actions on that today. They passed the bill. That's they're out there saying they want to move forward in that policy. Some folks are. That's very real. I mean, the clear constitutional power of not only me as governor, but any governor, is to control the rate of spending. And based on both economic and other indicators, governors have done that. As I said before, there's no joy in holding money back from education today. We worked very hard over the first 4 years to put ourselves in a position where we had a budget this year that put $150 million more in for education. And so to have to come out here, at the end of the session and restrict that based on, a misguided fiscal experiment, is not where we're going to go. But not where I want to, not where I'm going to go, but the authority there is clear.
Yeah, there also seems to be a relationship between the Revenue Department and certain committees in the legislature right now. Do you have any confidence whatsoever that they would come back and put the extra Revenue Department money in the budget next year?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying the money part of it is not important. But from a historical context, it breaks from a very, very strong and solid tradition of regardless of folks' differences in the state. We have always gotten budgets done on time. We've always worked together to make sure they're balanced. It's been one of the least, each folks that it touches gets a little warm, but I think people understand it, and certainly Missourians do. And so the principle of saying we're going to only get funded part a year and come back and we'll look at it again, that is exactly the way that Washington operates, a series of continuing resolutions which caused the credit downgrade of the United States of America. As long as I'm governor, that ain't happening here. If they make a cut, we're going to implement it. I'm not going to start us into a. I mean, the legislature is defined in our state to provide spending authority, and we're happy we work together on 98% of the stuff. It's all stuff we all agree on. But that veering off the historical path and saying we're going to begin a system that has failed our country, and that we're going to run a state based on kind of whenever a legislature feels like coming back or not coming back, or talking about something. That's just not – there's a legislative branch, there's an executive branch, I think this office we looked at things that we could cut. That's the one we'll cut. I think it provides service to dealers, which has been useful in the past, but I think when you look at the hierarchy of needs there. But I'm just not going to go to a partial year funding world where we have Missouri – properly has part-time legislators, not full-time. We properly have a requirement in the Constitution to get the budget done by the first Friday in May, and we do. And we properly have the responsibility some weeks later of the governor to make sure that everything balances out, and we properly have the authority of the governor to control the rate of spending during the fiscal year to make sure that we keep resources up and keep our credit rating and are able to pay our bills on time. All of those are important. And saying that you're going to have a partial year budget in some department, that flies in the face of that, and it's not the way we operate the government in the state of Missouri. And it's, like I said, no governor before me has really operated that way, and I certainly am not going to. And so it's an important fiscal philosophical line. My administration will certainly work to provide whatever public information they're seeking. as the commissioner's letter prior to their actions said. I mean, the commissioner delivered a letter prior to them taking their actions saying that we would, work to provide that public information. The director of the Department of Revenue, a member of my cabinet, had 4 hours of testimony yesterday down there, and a judge blocked the committee's actions, and we'll. I think that says it all.
Do you think it's is it responsible? Is the legislature acting responsibly by subpoenaing people and pursuing this in the manner they are?
I mean, after we've delivered a letter saying we want to work with them, having sheriff's deputies knock on people's houses' doors at 11:40 at night to come testify the next morning, that's not the way government operates. It's not the way the legislative branch or the executive branch work. It's just not. I mean, it's just not. I don't want to stop. I mean, like I say, it's. I think. Clearly, we delivered a letter beforehand saying I've said here as governor we're gonna do that with the person in charge of all this spent 4 hours on the stand yesterday and a judge blocked the committee's action. So I think that says it all. Yeah. My people were available yesterday because they had some notice and they were, allowed to prepare. I mean, in that sense, and I'm confident. As I said before, the commissioner delivered a letter and said we'll work to work with them. I'm not going to say to Missouri, it is a pretty busy time around here. You'd like a little more notice than a few hours to come in. I mean, it's important for we're working pretty hard, but and so we'll there's yeah. It's as I said before, we'll work to provide whatever public information you're seeking. And as I said, as yesterday, the director of that department testified there for 4 hours, and I think it was, appropriate, and the judicial action was necessary and appropriate. Yeah. Any other questions, man?
You keep writing about the state's AAA rating. How long have we actually had it? It goes back a number of years.
Yeah, that's why I say in this job you step into a proud tradition of governors, Democrats, and Republicans, Democrats of a wide area of philosophy on a myriad of issues, but on that one. I mean, there's a clear grain that runs through not only the governors, who have had to take a lot of action over the years to maintain that, but one of the key elements of that AAA rating is that power that we have in our Constitution of the governor to control the rate of spending. And that has been used by many governors before me, and I would submit will be used by governors in the future to make sure. The legislature appropriately passes, in essence, in many ways, a spending authorization bill, so they are by their very nature gonna many times authorize more than is immediately available. That's just the way that things go. So I don't see it as some sort of cognizant of the great work that's been done by a number of folks before me in this office and in OABP and otherwise to put us in that situation. I think it's especially been difficult to maintain it with all of the, there's never been a time when any other governor has stood here or been involved in the fiscal part of this state where our United States was downgraded, at least. I mean, we see on the actions that were noted yesterday by Moody's about Kansas on their bonds that they have for one section of their bonds. I mean, this stuff is serious business, and others have treated it seriously, and I will continue to do just the same. Thank you all very much.
We talk inside baseball, but we're here $400 million withholdings. How is my neighbor or the people?
Well, we've worked as hard as we can to minimize that. I mean, I'm not trying to. This is not some sort of effort to make anybody feel hurt. You know, we're trying to manage this thing as well as we can, and so we've had to take all the additional dollars going to education. We've had to take some of the proper investments in healthcare, and we said the new programs are going to be held. And quite frankly, if your neighbor's a state employee, the restriction on the pay raise, although most of the employees won't happen until January, although a significant portion, about 10,600 before that, they'll fill that pretty quickly. Like I say, all of that was avoidable. 253 is the wrong direction for the state, and I'm hopeful that as we work this summer. So, like I say, Bob, I mean, while there will be some direct feelings in that situation, unlike kind of the other guy, I mean, this is not some sort of effort but when you look at to put in context, at least during my years, I mean, we have had to do some pretty dramatic fiscal things on a lot of things to hold back, and I've truly been gratified and that we're seeing this economy move forward, and I really felt, and I continue to feel, if we can get through this process, we're going to see an opportunity to increase the proper investment in the future in the education sector, especially. Thank you all.